Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
There's nobody like our Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. You know, Jesus, he paid it all to purchase it all. He paid it all to purchase it all. He didn't. You know, it says he died for the sins of the whole world. Isn't that interesting? Even for those that would say no. He died for every human, that they would have the opportunity to say yes or no. Isn't that amazing? But he didn't just do that. He died to fulfill every word, every prophecy that was written about him in the Old Covenant. He fulfilled to perfection every word. And some that were not even understood yet. You know, the Bible says that the Old Testament prophets longed to look into and understand the things, the timing, and the things that they were prophesying about. They didn't really fully get it, right? They were prophesying by the Spirit, and they knew in part. But there's something fascinating to me. There's promises in Deuteronomy. There's promises in Isaiah that are so specific and clear that Jesus came to purchase for us because we couldn't, because we had fallen into sin, right? And because of that, he had to buy it all back. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And that scripture is often used about lost souls, and yay, thank God. But I believe it's all that was lost in the garden. Adam was made in the image of God. And so he had the very character and nature of God in him. Until they sinned, until Adam and Eve sinned, they had the nature of God. They had the love of God. They had the mind of Christ, right? They had the heart and compassion of God. That has to be true because they were made in the image. And so when that was all wrecked, and through deception, they sold out to Satan. And by deception, Satan became the prince of this world. He was never intended to be. Adam was intended to be. Think about it. So Jesus came to purchase back rulership for his people, for those that would believe in him, to take you back to Garden State, where there was open communion with God, where God walked in the garden with us in the cool of the day. That's supposed to be normal. Fellowship with God is supposed to be normal. But what Satan did is he's terrified of that. He's terrified you'll get too close to God or that you'll understand what the fullness of what Jesus did. So he's got to sow all kinds of deception. Well, God didn't mean you. You're not worthy. You're not good enough. Well, of course we aren't. We knew that when we got saved. We knew when we got saved. Did you? When you got, hopefully all of you are born again. If you're not, please come and talk to me at the end because you need to be. But if you got born again, when someone preached to you the gospel message, did you say, well, I'm not worthy? Of course you did. I'm not worthy. I need a Savior. But what happened then after that, religion came in and said, now you have to be worthy to earn what he bought you. That's real dangerous, isn't it? Because what he purchased, he paid for in his blood, which is holy and is righteous. And he purchased it so that we could receive it and walk in the fullness of it. Here's one of the biggest things he did. Heaven is now open. He tore the veil from top to bottom, right? He opened it forever. That was a permanent, irreversible tear in the veil into the Holy of Holies. That is like having a big sign that says, heaven is open, 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 open. Did you ever drive by a place at 2 a.m, open, open? That heaven is open to you, to me, for fellowship and relationship. And Jesus is actually wanting and desiring his kids, God's kids, to come in and sit at his feet just like Mary did. In an open way, an open relationship. And you might say, well, I'm not worthy. Well, of course you're not. I'm not either. No one has ever been worthy except him. But he purchased this for us and gave us a pass, gave us a ticket, a way, an open door, because God wants disciples that will sit at his feet and learn the way things work. And I think one of the reasons we've had trouble receiving from heaven all that he purchased, if you know your word, you know that Jesus purchased for us at the cross, not just our salvation, he purchased our healing. He purchased freedom from grief and sorrow. Did you know that? Did you know that he paid so that you don't have to walk in depression? That's large. If you don't know that, you'll walk in depression because you don't know you can exchange it for joy. That's part of what happened at the cross. If you don't believe me, do a word study in Isaiah 53. It talks clearly about how he, and we have some teachings back there that go line by line. When someone told me that salvation was part of the atonement, what that means in plain language is he died for your healing as much as he died for your salvation. And when I heard somebody say that, you know, I'm one of those people, I need to see it in the word. So I did a word, literally word for word study of Isaiah 53. And if you do that, or if you go back and get it back there, you'll find that he purchased your healing 2,000 years ago and is waiting for you to take it. Why don't more people receive their healing, whether it's an inside healing, an outside healing, an emotional healing, a brain or mind healing? Some of you did some drugs, and no condemnation, but your brain needs healing. You know, if you do drugs for a long time, sometimes there's some damage that gets done in your thinking, in your mind, and sometimes in your physical brain. Do you know that that's something Jesus has already paid for you to receive your healing? Do you need new thoughts? Are you stuck with cyclical thinking or thinking that just goes over and over and over and over and you feel trapped or stuck? I know you're in here. I wouldn't be preaching like this if you weren't in here. God wants to set you free today. You don't have to have a cycle of negative thinking. There's someone in here, you spend your day beating yourself up in your head over and over, talking to yourself about how bad you are. Your self-talk is very negative. Did you know that that's not religious and it's not pleasing to the Lord? Because God doesn't make junk, right? And even if your flesh is a little junky, and whose isn't, your spirit, if you're born again, is pure, made in the image of God. So Jesus is trying to get his people to see and understand what he bought for them. When he said it is finished, he meant it's finished. You know, I'm not going to take it and bring it to your house and say, oh, please, please, won't you take this? I've spelled it out in my word. I want you to take it. I want you to have it. And the enemy doesn't want you to have it. And so the war is in your head, your thoughts, your mind, that will constantly tell you, he didn't mean you. You're not worthy. You know, God loves others, but oh, he doesn't love you. Not true. Did you know that to think that way, to think that you're the exception to the rule, I love you, but that's to call God a liar. That's to say, when he said he's no respecter of persons, it's like you're saying, well, yeah, he really is a respecter of persons. He respects all those people, but not me. Now you've defamed God. We have to start to we have to look closely at what we are believing, and we need to repent. And the only reason I can talk like this is God kind of corrected me in a very deep way when I was doing exactly that. And it changed my life. I began to realize that my biggest problem were the lies that I had believed. I had believed lies that the devil told me, you know, that circumstances told me, emotions told me. I was being emotionally ruled. And see, Jesus is aching, longing, looking for somebody that will believe him and take him at his word. And just say, if you said I'm worthy, you can't lie. God is not a man that he should lie. The Bible says he cannot lie. Cannot. But look it up. He cannot lie. Well, if he said that if you got born again, if you got born again, you've been made the righteousness of God. Do you believe that? A lot of born again people don't really believe that. And because they don't, they disqualify themselves from receiving the things that he wants them to have. So they walk short of their destiny. They fall short of their calling, always taking the last place because, oh, I don't think he really meant me. I don't think he loves me. Like you're the great exception to the rule. And God doesn't think that way. What he did for all. And he's looking for somebody that has the guts to say, yeah, I get it. I'm not worthy. Never was, never will be in my flesh. Don't have anything to offer him. No ability whatsoever. But he purchased me with blood, and I'm his. That means he values me even though I have no value of my own. He loves me because I'm his. He loves you because you're his. Not because of what you did or didn't do, not because of what you say or don't say. He loves you, and he wants to build a relationship with you that brings you up to the heavenly level, because whether you know it or not, you are the house of heaven on earth. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Your physical body was designed to house him. House him, carry him, speak from him, release songs from him, write books from him, teach kids through him. He wants to rule the earth through you. And not in an arrogant or haughty way, but in a way where God is looking for somebody that will let him be who he is. We've heard so much stuff about what humans think about who God is. But God wants people to encounter him for real through you. And so one of the things that we've discovered over the years is if you get yourself out of the way, get your opinions and your false belief systems and your pride or your failure mentality, either one, out of the way and make way for the Holy Spirit to move through you, he never fails. So you get to release a word if it's not you and if it's not your opinion. You get to release a word and see change. And you get to see it every time. If it's really him, you will see an effect, because he doesn't say things without there being an impact. The Holy Spirit, when he speaks, there's an impact. Is it okay if can I share about your knee? Okay, so we're at a retreat. Denise went all the way to Colorado, yay, to sit in a meeting, right? And you know what? Hungry people receive, don't they? Yeah. It's people who are hungry enough to say, I want God. She had to book a flight, rent a car. It was not easy. She gets out there, and I think it was on a Wednesday night, and a word was released, someone's knee is being healed. Now, we didn't know anything about her knee. You had, what, three tears?
Three tears.
Yeah, so you were in pain, a lot of pain, for weeks in pain. Now, was that a human that did that? No. The Holy Spirit gave a little nudge, someone's knee is being healed. Well, we didn't know it, but her knee is healed. And she's been like, ever since. Now, that's a key to all things. What if we were able to get out of the way enough to let the Holy Spirit do what he does best? What if we were able, let's say you're in a class taking a test, what if you were able to learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit when you study, when you write? What if you were able to yield to him enough to grow in his word enough, to grow in hearing him well enough to be able to release what he says? Then you would see fruit everywhere you go, because his word doesn't return void. Right? It accomplishes the thing to which it sends it. And that's, yes, his written word, but it's also his spoken word. Right? She clapping because she knows. She clapping. And we've seen again, you know, even when I was very young in the Lord, like 20s, didn't know anything, I learned that if I could just say what he's saying, don't add to it, don't take away from it, just say what he's saying, people would get healed. Was that me? No. Was that my faith? No, I wasn't right. I didn't know about faith yet. I know about it now, but I didn't then. But I discovered that if I would just say what he said, someone would be healed. It's that simple. But we've tried to work it up, follow a program, memorize, speak, you know, do all this stuff, which is good, and those are factors. But I'm going to tell you, this, for me, this is success in every area, and heaven is open. It's for all. And Jesus is inviting every one of his kids to come and drink, come and dine, taste and see the Lord is good, not just so you can have victory in your life, but your family's life, your children's life, your cousin's life, your professional life, your career. what I discovered, I used to walk in failure in every area because I didn't get it. I didn't understand the concepts. And because I didn't understand them, I was failing in every area pretty much, getting clobbered by the enemy. But when God started to confront me, see, he confronts us because he loves us. He saw me failing. If he hadn't corrected me, I'd still be failing. But he started to kind of, if I can use the expression, get in my face and tell me I needed to repent of some of the things I was believing. You know what I was believing? I had a hard life. There were bad things happening. He should come and help me. You know what God was like? He was like this. I already came and helped you, died for this, gave you everything you need. Now you can stay there if you want, or you can come out and receive what I have done. Yeah. Past tense, what I have done. Or you can stay in that swamp if you want. And it challenged me to really look at the word and say, I'm doing this wrong. The problem isn't him. I was blaming him. I was blaming the devil. But the problem was here. It was me. The problem was me. I didn't understand the way the kingdom works. And I'm telling you, if we could all learn how the kingdom really works, we would see massive victory all the time. Would we have war? You bet. Would war stop? No. Would the devil get just be calm and go away? No. No, in fact, he might increase a little. But what is ours is victory. But what we have to do is understand how things work. If something isn't working for you, and it hasn't been working for 3 or 4 years, you might want to back up and say, Lord, is there something you're trying to help me understand? Is there something you're trying to show me? Because here's what we do. We expect God to just do it. He didn't, so we go, oh, it must not have been his will. But the word clearly says some things are his will. Let me just give you one example. God wants you healed. God wants you in wholeness and health. Guess what? Inside and outside. It is his will. He loves for his children to be healed. Here's what we found. We do these meetings, and what we'll do is a little odd, but God led us to do it. A few years ago, we were in Grand Junction, and God had me say this strange thing. A room full of people, probably, I don't know, 45 people, 50 people. He had me say, fill in the blank. And in that case, the question was, or the statement was, I really want to be close to my father. I want to walk in a close relationship with my father, but I can't because blank. And what God was doing was challenging people to realize the lie in their soul. And I said, now this could go for many statements. I want to receive my healing, but I can't because blah. Now I'm just going to say this with kindness. In a lot of the denominational churches, when someone doesn't get healed, they don't know what to do with that. So they say, well, it wasn't the Lord's will this time. But I don't think the scripture bears that out. I think the scripture bears out, by his stripes you were healed. He carried our infirmities, carried them. So what's the problem? And what God showed me is when something isn't working, and it's a promise. Okay, it's a promise from God. You can look at it in the word, but it's not working for you. There's something wrong, but guess what? It's not him. What's the problem? It's not him. Do you feel loved by God? If you don't, your feelings are lying. Come on. What does the word say? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You say, even if I screw up? Yeah, even if you screwed up. Now, he'll help you. He'll correct you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free because he loves you. But if you say, well, I don't feel like he loves me, you need to tell your emotions you're lying. Because if the word says A and your emotions say B, come on, who's telling truth? Yeah, your emotions are lying to you. And what we found is if we could get people to repent, that sounds like a strong word, doesn't it? I used to know a man with a big, bold voice who shall remain nameless. They're laughing because they knew him. He would stand in the front and go, repent! And I would think, of what? You know, because I wasn't doing anything big. You know, I'd gotten delivered of all the really bad stuff. Didn't think I was doing anything wrong. But over time, I came to understand we have walls up Sometimes it's a false belief system. Sometimes it's an emotional response. And those walls cause the gift of God to bounce off, the healing to bounce off. Do you ever talk to somebody and you present the salvation message? You tell them everything they need to know to get saved. My stepmom would say, "Yeah, but not me. I've done things that are too bad." So what just happened? Her ability to receive salvation bounces off every time you talk to her, because she has a false belief system that says, I'm too bad, I can't receive. Because she says that, guess what? She can't receive. Well, we do that with healing, don't we? We do that with our own destiny. Oh, I don't think God would use me. Right? But I promise you, if you're walking this earth, you have there's a reason you're here. There's a reason, and guess what? It's already in you. It's in your born-again spirit. You were born for a reason. You're here for a reason. You have something to do on this planet. And everybody's is different, but don't you want to know what that is? Don't you want to uncover that? God wants to show you. God would like to meet with you. Did you know this? And some people immediately run away. You know, they're so afraid God's mad at them, they're afraid of an actual meeting with God. Okay? But God would love to actually meet with you and teach you his ways. Did you know that? I can hear, I can hear, yeah, God wants a relationship, a personal relationship with each and every person if he could have it. And people are so wrongfully afraid of God, but in a wrong way, that they spend their whole life running away from him. And yet some of those people love him and are running through programs and churches and Bible studies trying to make a substitute for the real relationship for which they were created. So, did anyone ever hear someone witness by saying you have a God-shaped hole in your heart? And only God can fill it. Well, I want to say to most Christians, you still have a God-shaped hole in your heart because you're so busy running away from real relationship through wrongful fear. I know some of you, this doesn't apply to you, but I'm telling you, I know that there's a lot of people in here that this applies to. You're afraid of him in a wrong way because the enemy has spent your whole life telling you, you're not worthy, God doesn't love you. Well, you just said that the Bible's not true and God's a liar. He loved you enough to die for you, to purchase you, to present you to the Father. Do you have any idea how much joy it caused in heaven when you got saved? That like a new baby, do you ever see new parents in a hospital with a new baby? You know, people automatically start acting ridiculous when there's a baby. You know, normal adult humans, you know. A new dad, a new mom, they're just so proud, like their kid is going to be Einstein. It's like, you know, it's like slobbering, you know. But because it's their kid, and God is like that. Do you understand that's how he is about you? It doesn't matter if you're drooling. He loves you. He's proud of you. When you were born again, God went through heaven showing you off to the angels. It's a big deal. And then immediately the devil says, well, I can't afford to let them know the love of God. So I'm going to start to pummel them with all these rights and wrongs and do's and don'ts. I'm going to start to pummel them with all their inabilities. Look at Moses. God shows up to Moses. Moses had probably one of the greatest callings in the entire Old Testament. Phenomenal calling. And he tries to get out of it several times. Lord, you know I don't speak well. I'm slow of speech. Pick somebody else. I don't want to do it. Kept doing it over and over. It made God mad. Like what? I don't know who I made? I don't know the mouth I gave you? And I'm not, by the way, able to speak with power through you? God was not pleased with that. See, it's not pleasing to God. Sometimes we think it's religious, but it's offensive to God. Yeah. Sometimes we think we're being religious and holy. Oh, I'll just, you know, hide back here because I'm no good. Well, you just essentially said, I don't believe a word you said, Jesus. So when I say we have to repent of essentially saying, yeah, I know your word says that, but I don't really believe that because, and here's all my reasons. When I was doing that, when I was young and kind of foolish, God said, basically, You know, God talks to you how you talk, okay? And I tend to be a sarcastic person. So God says to me one day, and I'm not making this, he said, okay, let me get this straight. You believe that I could take a guy off a death row, I mean a real criminal, and he could get earnestly saved, and I could make him a great evangelist who walks in signs and wonders. You can believe that. But not you. Like, let me get this straight, right? I went, oh, right? Because somehow I'm the great exception to the rule because I'm so bad, but the axe murderer can be used. Do you see how we, is anyone home?
Yeah.
Can you see how skewed we are? And can you see that because of that sort of thinking, we always disengage, we back away from truth, we step away from the Bible. We even skip over certain scriptures by going, yeah, I know it says that, but, and you just skip to the next verse because that one doesn't apply to you. Right? And so here's how you know. I know you've, some of you regulars, you've heard this before, but God wants this dealt with in the church. We've seen miracles upon miracles upon miracles when we just got people to change their thinking. When we just get people to say, you know what, you're right, that was a lie. I was believing a lie. One dear lady in Colorado, this is in April, I was talking about the lie. And I didn't mean to, but I caught her eye while preaching. And I said something about the lie you believed, you've disqualified yourself from ministry. And she went like that. And I talked to her after the service, and she said years ago, like 20 years ago, she was with her husband, who had now passed away. She's now with her second husband. She was a widow, okay? When she was with her first husband, God gave them a ministry assignment, and I don't know what happened, but somehow she felt like they had disobeyed God, or they didn't get it right, or something happened. And so here we are 20-something years later with a new husband that God gave her, who's a godly man, but she doesn't believe God would use them because of what happened 22 years ago. What, like God is not going to give you a second chance if you blew it? Have we all blown it? How many times do you zig when you should have zagged? Right? If God disqualified you, no one would ever be able to do anything for God. Right? Even the great men in the Bible, some of them were kind of turkeys. And they did some wrong things. But God looks at the heart. And if God has called you to do something, stop apologizing for it. Stop pretending it's not true. Stop believing that you're not good enough. Of course you're not good enough. Who is? Am I good enough? No. Let's get it straight. The only thing that makes us good enough to stand before the Lord or to minister for the Lord or to speak His truth is His righteousness. And I remember when I was young and I was so busy gauging my own behavior, you know, because I was reading the scriptures and, oh, I don't measure up. And I was trying. It seemed like the more I tried, the worse I did. You know, I was fasting and praying and reading, but I had so much of a vendetta against myself. And God would use me on a day when I didn't think I was doing so well to heal something big. You know how we think, this is big and that's small. You know, really? For God, it's like, healed, healed. It's so easy for Him because it's already purchased. And so He would use me on a particularly crummy day to heal something like cancer, leukemia, something big. And I would say to Him, how can you use me? He'd say, you still don't get it. I never use you based on your righteousness because you don't have any. I always heal people and use you based on my righteousness, which is 100% every day, 24/7, and it never fades. So if your faith is going to be in your righteousness, forget it. But if your faith is going to be in my righteousness, you can do all the things I ask you to do. If you couldn't, how could you go and minister if you had a bad day? How could you witness to somebody if you're having a bum day, or you did something wrong, or you fought with your spouse, or whatever? I'm not saying we don't work on cleaning out sin. We are really adamant about that. But what I am saying is we first have to get an understanding that he's already purchased it all. He's already given it to us. Our job is to receive it. Years ago, I was in Bristol. Some of you remember Bristol. And I was preaching by the Spirit, and I heard myself say these words. Some of my people are really great givers, but they don't know how to receive. And because of it, they're struggling. And I knew that was him, because that came not from me. I knew that didn't come from me. And I began to ponder that and ask God questions about it. That doesn't just go for finance. That goes for healing. It goes for being used of God. It goes for speaking by the Spirit. It goes for relationship with him. Your relationship with him, he wants a close-knit connection to you. Do you ever wake up in the morning and the presence of God is all over you? God desires a close walk with you. And if you're so busy disqualifying yourself or measuring yourself or comparing yourselves among yourselves, that won't happen, will it? So God is trying to raise people up, this sounds funny, to his level. Now, no one will ever be God but him, but he said we are seated in heavenly places. But most believers have never sought to understand the perspective of heaven. And they're going through life, and to be honest, failing at a lot of things because the earth system for Christianity, it doesn't work. We've proven it, right? I love the church, but the church has consistently proven that the programs and directives don't really get it. We talk about it, we talk it half to death, but we can't do it. We can't see it. We don't see the goods. When I remember this pastor met Edgar, and Edgar had my husband, my former husband, who was with the Lord. He had a working of miracles. He operated miracles all the time. And this pastor said to me, he's got the goods and I've seen it. And I thought, you know what? I've seen it too. He had something from heaven because when he got born again, he sought the Lord until the Lord encountered him in a way where he was changed. We are so casual. We expect God to do this stuff just because we're so nice. It doesn't work that way. God doesn't just pick somebody and go, oh, I just like that guy. I'm just going to use him to raise the dead. No, 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 no. When you seek him, you will find him when you seek him with all your heart. There's a man in Ohio he's with the Lord now, but phenomenal miracles consistently for many, many decades. And he consistently sought the Lord with these long fasts, long, long fasts. See, he said this. He said, you don't get this kind of faith unless you contend for it. We become so casual. We just expect God to come and visit us in the pew and breathe on us, and we get a little woof and go home. I don't know about you. That is not enough for me. One day, we will come before him, and I want to be able to bring him something. I want to be able to bring him something or somebody. Somebody was changed. Somebody received something, not because I was anything, not because I had great faith, but because I was able to seek him until I found the way that it works. Because here's the way that it works. The Holy Spirit in you is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. That's the way everything works. Christ in you. How is Christ in you? By the Holy Spirit. Do you know that Jesus said, the works that he did, he said, the Father in me does them. Think about it. How could the Father be in him when he just taught them, our Father who art in heaven? If the Father art in heaven, how could the Father in him do them? By the Holy Spirit. Remember, he was at the River Jordan and he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Boom. And before that day, if you look, you can search high and low, there were no miracles. None. Zero. None until Jesus got filled with the Holy Spirit. He's showing us how it's done. And that relationship with the Holy Spirit, that's where you sit at the feet of Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. You sit at the feet of the Word of God. You sit at the feet of the Holy Spirit. You ask him your questions. Develop your relationship until nobody will ever convince you that God doesn't love you. You develop your relationship where the whole world falls apart. If everything falls apart, there's wars and rumors of wars and all that stuff, there's one thing they can never take from you, and that's if you know God loves you, not because of anything you've ever done right, but because you're His. You get a hold of that, and nobody can take you out. If you get this, if you can get, God loves me because I'm His, not because of what I did right, not because I got delivered of X, Y, and Z, but because I'm His, I'm His own. Those of you who have kids, you know you love them without reason. You love them when they're good. You love them when you're bad. Sometimes you want to spank them, but you love them because they're yours. They're flesh of your flesh. They're bone of your bone. Guess what? That's how God feels about you. You're part of Him. He looks at you as His own, part of His own body. He said that. You're like part of Him. So for us to say, well, I just don't know if Jesus loves me, then you don't understand Jesus. You don't know Him. You don't know your Word. And at some point, you have to choose. Well, you're going to see it in the Word. Hopefully you're reading. Hopefully you're reading. You see it in the Word, and every devil's going to say, oh, no, that's not true because A, B, C. Who is telling the truth? The Word. Always. My Word is truth, He said. My words are spirit, and they are life. At some point, you need to start to confront your own self-talk. You need to start to confront those lies you believed. I don't care if they told you since you were two that you're dumb. You are no longer dumb if you're born again. You have the mind of Christ. Step away from the old you and step into who the Bible says you are. Make choices about your thoughts. Make choices what you will and will not believe. And when you start to do that, it gets really hard for the enemy to take you out. It gets really hard for the enemy to talk you out of your calling or your mission or your value or your job. Because you begin to realize, hey, such as I am with all my flaws, my Father loves me. I'm going somewhere to happen. And if this fails and that fails, He is still going to back me up. Because He's my dad. And if you can get that and begin to reject these false belief systems, and what I really feel the Lord taught me is repent of them. Repent of believing anything that does not line up with the Word. I'm just kind of letting that go in. So if you are always thinking you're not good enough, what does the Word says? That He made you the righteousness of God in Christ. He didn't just give you a robe of righteousness. It says He made you righteous. He who knew no sin became sin. How does that work? That you might become the righteousness of God in your spirit. We have a lot to learn in the church. We haven't begun to scratch the surface, but I'm telling you, if you begin to question, deal with your thoughts, deal with your thought life. And what we've seen is over and over, if people repent of that stinking, those stinking thoughts, they receive automatically. We've had people receive their healing instantly, and we weren't even praying for healing. We were just getting the wall, the barrier, the filter out that was bouncing off the good things, the promises. It's like God drops a promise and we go, oh, I don't think I can receive that. Ping. I don't think I could be saved. Ping. I don't know if I could be healed. Ping. And you have all these reasons. Hogwash. We need to start to deal with that stuff and get that junk out of our soul, out of our thought life, out of our emotions. Tell your emotions to be quiet. Your emotions were never meant to rule you. You were meant to rule them. They are a gift from God, but they're supposed to serve you. Your emotions are supposed to serve you. And they are meant to motivate you to serve God, but they were never meant to tell you how you should feel. So we have choices to make. And if I sound like I'm being a little tough, this is an issue for God. You know, I don't get to always say what I would like to come and say, okay? Because my job is to try to discern what He's saying. God is wanting His people. This is a season where you need to believe in miracles. And not just, oh, I hope He'll do it someday kind of miracles. We need to get sharp enough that we understand that the miraculous is here now. And that there's nothing that hinders me from receiving. if I get the junk out. And the reason I say that is when things start popping in the world, as we know they are, you may need miracles here and there and here and there quickly. So we need to get it together, okay? I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm just saying where I think we're at. I think we're at a place where we need to come to terms with the reality of what the Word says. A lot of people know it. They can quote it. They have great doctrine. And they could write a wonderful book of doctrine. But they don't really believe what it says. And because of it, the goodness of God is bouncing off. The things that they're called to do, the things that they're called to receive are bouncing off of those filters, okay? Not condemning anybody. I'm just saying this is the way things work. Is that too hard?
No.
All right. Well, hallelujah. I love you.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.